Reckon you might at that. You got a change of clothes? Grinning, Yuri twisted round to show him the canvas duffel bag slung over his shoulder. His laser rifle was strapped to it. The sheriff picked a vermilion-colored deputy's badge from the pile beside the processor block. There you go. Get yourself down to the Swiveland and find a bunk. We'll swear you in officially once we're underway. And muzzle that bloody Sace. I don't want him chewing up colonists before we get there. Yuri rubbed the black scales between Randolph's battered ears. Don't you worry about old Randolph. He ain't going to hurt no one, not till I tell him to. Next, the sheriff called. Yuri Wilkins settled his hat firmly on his head and headed for the sun-drenched harbor outside, a song in his heart and mayhem in his mind. "Gods, I've seen some rough planets in my time, Joshua," Ashley Hansen said, "but this one takes the biscuit. There isn't even anyone at the spaceport who wanted to buy copies of Jezebella's MF album, let alone a black market distribution net." He took a drink of juice from his long glass. It was a purplish liquid with plenty of ice bubbling around, some aboriginal fruit. The pilot never touched alcohol while the Lady Macbeth was docked to a station or in a parking orbit. Joshua sipped his glass of bitter, which was warm, and carried a punch almost as strong as some spirits he'd tasted. At least it had a decent head. The pub they were drinking in was called the Crash Dumper, a wooden barn-like structure at the end of the road that linked the spaceport with Durringham. Various time-expired spaceplane components were fastened up against the walls, the most prominent a compressor fan from one of the McBoeings that took up most of the end wall, with a couple of the fat blades buckled from a bird impact. The pub was used by spaceport staff, along with the pilots and starship crews. It was allegedly one of the classier pubs in Durringham. If this was refinement, Joshua didn't like to think what the rest of the city's hostelries must be like. "I've been on worse," Warlow growled. The bass harmonics set up vibrations on the surface of the bright lime in his bulbous brandy glass. "Where?" Ashley demanded. Joshua ignored them. This was their second day in Durringham, and he was starting to worry. The day Ashley had flown them down there, there had been some sort of riot next to the river. Everything had shut down, shops, warehouses, government offices. Spaceport procedures had been minimal, but then he suspected they were always like that on Lalonde. Ashley was right. This was one massively primitive colony. Today had been little better. The governor's industrial secretary had put him in touch with a Durringham timber merchant. The address turned out to be a small office down near the waterfront. Closed, naturally. Inquiries had eventually traced the owner, Mr. Purcell, to a nearby pub. He assured Joshua 1,000 tons of mayup was no problem. "You can't give it away down here. We've got stocks, backlog, halfway up the Julif." He quoted a price of 35,000 fusa dollars inclusive and promised deliveries could start to the spaceport tomorrow. The wood was a ridiculous price, but Joshua didn't argue. He even paid a 2,000 fusa dollar deposit. Joshua, Ashley, and Warlow had gone back to the spaceport on their hired power bikes, and the rental charge on those was bloody legalized robbery, to try to arrange for a McBoeing charter to ship the wood up to Lady Mac. That had taken the rest of the day and another 3,000 fusa dollars in bribe money. It wasn't the money which bothered him particularly. Even taking Lalonde's necessary lubrication into account, the mayop was only a small percentage of the cost of a Norfolk flight. Joshua was used to datavised deals and instant access to anybody he wanted via the local communication net. On Lalonde, where there was no net and few people with neural mnemonics, he was beginning to feel out of his depth. When he had ridden back into town in the late afternoon to find Mr. Purcell and confirm they had a McBoeing lined up, the timber merchant was nowhere to be found. Joshua retreated to the Crash Dumper in a dark mood. He wasn't at all sure that Mayop would even turn up tomorrow, and they had to leave in 6 days to stand any chance of securing a cargo of Norfolk tears from a Rose Yard merchant. 6 days, and he didn't have any alternative to Mayop. It had seemed such a good idea. He took another gulp of his bitter. The pub was filling up as the spaceport staff came off shift. Over in one corner, an audio block was playing a ballad which some of the customers were singing along to.